happening in people's lives. There's lots of good things happening. You need to understand that seed that is in the ground that is dying, it has to die first. And then, like the phoenix, it rises. Just about the time you think that it's, is it ever going to come up? Boop, there it is. So there is a time, but there is also attacks. The Bible's, Peter said, Jesus said, the enemy comes to, I'll get my people straight. Jesus said the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that is what he tries to do. Before our vacation, he tried to steal our peace. Not having it. Oh, by the way, do y'all remember that nice thunderstorm we had up here? Did you guys get it? Because Columbus flat out did. It took almost 2 hours to get out of Columbus because we were driving in places in a foot of water. It's like, Lord Jesus, please tell me I don't have 10 hours of this. Because I was already... And I'm not even to 33 yet. But you know what? God blessed it. The devil tries to come and do this stuff. He tries to take it all away from you. You cannot let him have it. You hear me, Harold? The devil can't have it. Some of you other people, there's some things, there might be things I don't know what's going on yet. I'm here to tell you, don't let the devil have it. You hold on to your peace. And you stand. So this morning, God had some scriptures bouncing around in me. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm seeing some things, Lord. So what's going on? And as I read down through here, and then he started showing me some things, I thought, oh, that's what's going on. You're a good God. And by the way, thank you again, brother, for preaching for me last week. I heard he did a great job. Again, unfortunately, we weren't able to hear it. But anyhow, so this morning in Matthew chapter 7, see if I can remember how to operate this thing. We're going to read 21 through 27. Not everybody reads. There was something I learned years ago about studying the Bible. And there's a point people quit actually doing this, and that is take it in context. I don't think I have any English teachers. But that was one of the hardest things. Yeah, I got science, I got history, I got math, I got kindergarten. But taking it in context, if you want to know how to take something out of context, watch the news, right? They take things out of context all the time, positive and negative. It's out of context. The Word of God has been abused this way for centuries because people take things out of context. Now, this is Jesus. He's talking. There's actually a book that Angela's talked, I think, did you, were you able to order it? Okay, well, she got it for me. But it's about the lessons and the words in red. And I was like, I agree. Yeah, the greatest words ever spoken. If you want to know what the greatest words ever spoken, they're in your Bible in red. That is the Word who became flesh speaking the truth. And this is some of them. And Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have... Now, I know it says Lord, Lord. It's just doubled for emphasis. It's like, but Lord, okay? Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? How many preachers right now and other people are running around and they're claiming that, look, I can cast out demons. I can heal the sick. I can prophesy. I can speak in tongues is what it's talking about. I can do all this stuff. And Jesus said, I will declare them, I never knew you. Those are some scary words, aren't they? You thought this whole time that you were good because, well, I can do all this stuff. I led crusades. I went around to people's houses and I did all this stuff. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I'm going to tell you right now, those are words I don't want to hear. I want to hear, well done. Enter into your rest. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So all the things that Jesus has been teaching, and y'all, this is Matthew chapter 7. You need to understand the prior chapters are all read. It wasn't just this little bitty message right here. The whole section is read. It's a Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, whoever says or does these things, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended. Rain falls in everybody's life, right? At some point, it rains even in the desert. But rain, and he's not talking about necessarily just physical. Okay, he's talking about the things that come against us, the mental, the emotional, the physical, all of that stuff, the stuff that tears us up, right? You got kids, you got grandkids, you got nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas. That's all the stuff that becomes rain. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Devastating. You're right out here at the edge of Edison, they're building a new house. I remember when they first had the marks. Then they came in, they took off topsoil, put it in a pile. And then they brought in a track hoe and they dug down. And they dug down X amount of feet and they poured footers, reinforced with steel. They let that dry and then they came back and they started building the foundation. The reason they went all the way down there was to get, first off, to put a basement, but frost line. And that footer is the rock that they built upon. Some people get fortunate enough. We lived in a house outside Chesterville. And it was an old house. And, if you've ever lived in really old houses, I mean with rock foundations, okay? Did anybody have a rock like this big around in your basement? We did. They dug down and they hit a rock they couldn't move. They said, you know what? That one stays. And they built upon it. And ladies and gentlemen, that was the only part of the house that did not shift. All the little loose rocks, because they had poor quality concrete and stuff, had broke loose, and so the house was crooked and wonky. But that one spot was solid. It wasn't going anywhere. See, that's what Jesus was saying. When you build upon that big rock, it doesn't move. Your house will be fine. See, sand? Sand is broken up rock that was weak. I used to make tons and tons and tons of sand. And we started off with big rocks. And then we kept crushing them until we finally had a lot of sand. And it looks solid. I mean, we drive those big, gigantic dump trucks out on a pile that is 70, 80 feet in the air. And I ain't gonna lie, it's a little scary. Your first 10 times doing it. And I don't think you ever get used to running your bed up and you got 30 tons of sand and you can feel the sand giving and your truck starting to raise up. And yes, sometimes the sand gives and your truck goes, whoop. Scary. Because the sand is not solid. It shifts all the time. So Jesus said something back here. Let me get back to too far. And he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He's not saying we have to go in and start practicing the law. That is exactly what people start doing. Oh, well, I've got to do this. I have to have my hair in just the right way. I can't have a hole in my shirt or a hole in my pants. Everything has to be perfect. I can only eat certain foods. And I must stop at certain times of the day and bow towards Israel and pray. That is not what he's saying. He said, you who practice lawlessness, if you've been around here long enough, you know that I call that the law of love. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? By the way, this is a trap. They were trying to trick Jesus. Teacher, which is the greatest? They were wanting to justify their sin is what they were trying to do. Just like the rich young ruler, remember? Lord, I've done all those. And Jesus said, yes, but there's one thing you're lacking. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Do you guys realize what that man walked away from? He turned down walking with Christ for material possessions. He turned them down. Do you know what he lacked? Oh, he was greedy. No, he lacked compassion. He lacked love. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You want to fulfill the law, right? That's what we're supposed to do. That's why he said you practice lawlessness, because we didn't practice law. We have to fulfill the law just as Christ did and walk in love. I'm getting a little loud. I can hear the speakers cracking. He's saying you have to do this and you fulfill the law. You're not lawless if you're walking in love, if you're practicing love. Discipline is love. Handing somebody food is love. Clothing somebody is love. You know what? Even giving an education is love. Where would we be if we didn't know how to read? One of the greatest things that the enemy used to use against the body of Christ was illiteracy. Because all it took was one person who knew how to read to go to 1,000 people who don't know how to read and tell them this is what the Bible says. The Catholic Church did it for a long time until there was a certain young man who looked at it. He said, that's not what it says at all. And he wrote up his charges against the church and went and nailed them on their front door. Thank God for education. Now, it doesn't mean I need to know geometry. I tried to learn it. I know enough to get online. I need to know the angles for these stairs, put my measurements in, hit click. Thank you, Lord, for the person who created that app. But somebody had to. Oh, wait a minute. They didn't have apps back when they sent the rockets up to the moon and all that stuff, did they? That's not my calling. But education is still a great thing and a good way to love people. I want you to know the word. That's why I tell you, don't just say, well, and I know some of you don't, and I praise God that you get in there and you study it. You look at it and say, hey, wait a minute, that's exactly what it says. I'm not trying to teach you a personal revelation. I'm trying to teach you what it says. Because listen, if it's a personal revelation, then the Holy Spirit's not the same. Somebody else has had to have had the revelation. Love fulfills the law. And as such, if you are walking in love, it's not saying that you're going to mess up from time to time. We all do. Then you will not be told, depart you who practice lawlessness. So now let's go back to that whole building on a rock thing. Let's look at this real quick. This is out of Isaiah 59:19. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west. And by the way, I encourage you to go back and read 59. There's a part in there where it says God takes on the helmet of salvation. Y'all, is that starting to sound familiar? But it changes. And it says he puts on the clothes of vengeance. See, everybody, we want vengeance. We call it justice. Let's be honest. That's the word we throw around. We want justice. No, you want revenge. And God said, vengeance is mine. Let him have it and find out that your ulcers will disappear. But the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when does the enemy come in? It's the rain. It's that little bit, it's those little things that come in and they collect. I see these videos all the time. Just a little bit of rain, and next thing you know, there's a flash flood. Why? Because all that little bit of rain on that mountain, it collected at one point. See, I was praising God when the rain ceased this morning, because that was something else I had to do last week before I left, is pull my driveway back up into my driveway. It was in the road. Because that water collects and it runs down through there. When the enemy comes in like a flood is never a good thing, folks. It's never a good thing. It's always meant for destruction. The Johnstown City flood, Katrina. You know, we had some flooding around here back in the 80s. There's a lot of places. Flooding does not really do anything good. It destroys what is. And that's what, and it's why the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. A standard is something that does not move. It is the thing that everything else is judged off of. When I worked at Cosmo and I set up the machines to inject teeny tiny little wires in those bobbins, I had a standard I had to follow. And even though I had my own micrometer, mine, and it was a good brand and everything, mine was not certified. I had to take it to the one that was certified. And they used it, and they checked it, and I had to go by their standards. Mine could get me to there, so I could set the machine up. But they were the standard. If they said, you're a thousandth too long. Folks, let me tell you, you want to know what a thousandth is? Pull a hair out. Now, if it's a gray hair, it's going to be two. Don't know why. We discovered that. Normal hair was a thousandth. Gray hairs were two thousandths. Go figure. It's the standard by everything is judged. Jesus said that if we listen to his sayings and we put them to practice, he will liken us as wise men who built on a rock. Okay, not sand, not tiny little rocks, things that have already broke down due to weather. And here he says, but the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Again, it's that thing that does not move. What does not move? The rock did not move. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Or who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist. Remember, he was beheaded. Some Elijah. Elijah's not dead. Elijah will have to die. And others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Okay, now we're resurrecting the dead. Is there more? Did I give? Should be 16, 13 through 19. I'll let her. Yeah, I'm looking at that now, and it does look like a four. That's on me. We'll give her a second here, though. So he's talking about finding out, who do people say I am? Did that beep mean you're ready? There we go. She got it. Okay, so now some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Who do you think Christ is? Who do you believe he is? Who do you believe? It doesn't matter who I believe who he is. It matters who you believe. Because our salvation, our faith is a personal thing. Okay? It's not saying that you keep it to yourself. You never tell people about God. You have to take responsibility for it. I cannot save you. I can die for you, but it won't save you. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Think about it. He was the anointed one, the very Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter was a roughneck. He wasn't polished. He didn't go to seminary school, learn how to be all proper. He was a hothead who at this point had yet to cuss people out. He was rough around the edges. Not probably as eloquent as we'd like to think. He was a fisherman. By that standard, he might have stunk. I know every time I go fishing, yeah, you gotta go shower. It's in the water, man. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Remember, Simon Peter. And Jesus now said, you are Peter. The word Peter comes from Petra, which means rock. It's where we get petrified. There's actually a region in Jordan called Petra. Would love to see it someday. Not worth the chance right now for me. It's kind of a hotbed. You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now let's stop here real quick. He didn't say that he was going to build his church on Peter. The Catholic Church teaches that. That's why every year thousands and thousands of pilgrims go to Rome. And they go to the Vatican and they kiss this bronze foot. They've kissed it so much that the toes are about to fall. They're disappearing. That is gross. That's just gross. He didn't say, I'm going to build my church on you, Peter. He said, on this rock. On this rock. Well, Peter's name means rock. Come on, preacher. You know, quit trying to reinvent it. I'm not trying to reinvent it. I'm trying to show you what's actually there. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Wanted to finish that out. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this, but my Father. So what's the rock? The rock is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. The church doesn't know who Jesus Christ is. Lord, baby Jesus, I just want to reach through every television, and I despise that in that movie. You know what I'm talking about. I despise Jeremy Clarkson. And I think the show's funny. But every time somebody says, oh dear baby Jesus, he grew up. He became a man. He wasn't some feminine hanging on a cross. He was shamed. He didn't even have clothes on, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get this out there. The crucifix in itself is a lie. He was naked. Yes. He was shamed before all men. And then he rose again, victorious as a king. Not as a baby in a manger. Y'all do realize we all come that way. My dad was born on sacks of mail. I fortunately was in a hospital. We broke that curse. We have got to have the revelation of who Jesus Christ is for the storms. People that get washed away so easy, they don't know their God. If a preacher sinning can cause you to walk away, you never had a relationship. If somebody in the church taking your seat caused you to get mad and walk away, you never had a relationship. If somebody said you were ugly in the church, you never had a relationship. We're all stupid. There. I said you're stupid. But I threw myself in that under that bus too. We all do stupid things. Isn't that what Forrest Gump said? Stupid is a stupid does. I've done lots of stupid things and got a lot of scars to prove them. I'm standing over here because I keep thinking there's a camera. Yeah. She called me a camera hog, for those of you who didn't hear. We need to know who Jesus is. We need to know what a Messiah really is. Oh, well, I believe he came and he did this and he did that, but that was, no, it's for today. It is for now. And he got to believe he's returning. And if you can't believe he's going to return, listen, I don't care if it's not in my lifetime. I'm sick of people trying to predict when he's coming. Knock it off. Live every day ready. What do we think? Well, I'll get ready next month. I wish I could find that shirt that I used to have. It said, he who waits till the 11th hour dies at 10:30. Then it had the Grim Reaper on it. And not a pretty one. I'm that kind of guy. You need to understand Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. I know what's happening in our country. And I've read the book of Revelation. It's scary. It's really a scary thing if you don't have Jesus Christ. Well, Pastor, what are you saying? If you don't do this, you don't do that? I'm not going to bow. I'll not deny Christ. They can hold guns to my children's head. My son goes, what? I know where he's going. I'll not deny Christ. You can shoot me. I don't care. Well, you can't say the name of Jesus anymore. Well, then I'll switch it. Yeshua. Yeshua, Joshua. The revelation of who Christ is what the church is built on. He is my all in all. He is my light in an ever dark world. He's a lighthouse in that storm. You know, it was an amazing thing we learned when we went down. We got to see, we lived there for 3.5 years. Never saw the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. We were only a couple hours away. Never saw it. We went there and found out they moved it in 1999. How do you move a lighthouse? This isn't a tiny, this isn't Marblehead. This thing's like three times the size of Marblehead. And they moved this lighthouse half a mile in. Because that lighthouse, when it was built, was 1,200 feet from the shore. And in 1999, it was 120 feet. Yeah. We were trying to figure out, I forget who, maybe Pat or somebody, we were talking about maybe they took Chinooks and they picked it up and carried it over. I mean, it's huge. But that lighthouse has shed the light for thousands of ships coming into that area. They call that the graveyard of the Atlantic. It's shallow waters. There's reefs. There's sandbars. There's shipwrecks all over that area. And that light would be up there, and those captains would see that. And every time that light came around, they'd say, oh, we know where we're at. Why? Because our word says this is what is in this area. They're maps. Jesus is that for us. He's that voice in the back of our head screaming, don't go there. Stay home. You better get to church. He uses the Holy Spirit, by the way. It's our desires that want to jump up and down and say, oh, I want my way, I want my way, I want to do this. You want to stand the test of time? You want to stand the storms? You had better know who Jesus is. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you start to really know who Jesus is, I'm still learning. But I have compassion on people now. I used to be such a right there. I was a kill them all, let God sort them out kind of person. That's not Jesus. That's not him. I asked God to show me who he was. Not through her, not through my pastor, not through my parents, but through him. And you know how I got there? By a lot of frustration. Because I realized how wrong I was. And I thought I was so good. I had to learn compassion. I had to start seeing people how God sees them. I know who Christ is. And every day I get another revelation. I get just a little more inkling into who he really is, what he's really like. Well, why don't Jesus just come back? Well, God hasn't said to come back yet. Well, what is God waiting on? Don't know. That's not my call. But I do know this. God would not have anybody perish. So everybody who has perished, that wasn't the will of God. So don't people tell me, well, God's got this, he's in control. No, you're in control. Who do you know? Do you know who the God of, the King of Kings is? We're the ones making the choices. It was Phil's job to receive Christ, not mine to receive it for him. It's my job to pray for people. Sow the seed and love them. I've come to find that you get a more true response with love than you do with guilt. You You get pulled over. I won't do it again, officer. Right? Come on. You're okay for about, what, 3-4 days? You're minding your P's and Q's, making sure you give your turn signals, waving with people with all 5 fingers. I'm going to tell you right now, you drive down to Norfolk area, you get tested. They drive 80 miles an hour in a 50, just so you know. I kept looking, I'm like, Jesse, speed limit's only 55. Says, I know, Dad. We're getting run over. We got to keep up with the traffic. And we did. Thank God they slowed down in the tunnels, though. They actually did the speed limit inside those tunnels. And when you're on a tunnel and a bridge for 17 miles, yeah, I appreciate you doing the speed limit. But the week's over. Monday morning, you're late for work. Out the driveway you go. Barney get you. Oh, officer, please, I won't do it again. I know you won't. Here's your $300 fine. You hate me, you pig. No, he actually loves you. Like I said, love is discipline too. Not just our children. If you love them, you'll discipline them. I've told you before, I got friends who are guards. And every one of them, whether they're saved or not, say, if you'll discipline your children, I won't have to. People think they're entitled today. They don't know who Christ is. The sad part is some of them come from churches. I want you, that to be the prayer of your heart. Lord, reveal yourself to me. And I'm going to tell you right now, read the words in red. That is God. That's his heart. Read those words. How do you think I started? Because if I hadn't read those words, when those storms hit, great would have been the fall. You know, when we were down there, I had asked God, you know, remember, I asked God to reveal himself to me. And I went down, and we were talking with our old pastor. And she was like, now how did you guys come to the church? And I explained that I had actually came. I said, I was running from God, but I was trying not to get too far away from where I knew I was supposed to be. But I said, I came to this church one time before I went overseas. And I told her the time, and she says, oh, wow. And I explained to her, I said, you need to understand, I'd had it with the church. I'd had it with fake people. They were all about rules and regulations, but they didn't love people. It was about money and control. And I said, I was done with it. And she's like, when did you come? And I told her, she says, oh, man. Based on what you just told me, you just missed a major blow up at our church. I know what it was. I didn't know it was that close. It was within a month. Had that happened while I was there, God was going to have to send Jesus down himself. Because the exact same thing happened a few years after we left. And I looked at her and I said, God has his timing. Because if it had happened then, I might not be standing here today. Because it's not just one person who was at fault. I learned that from God. He held my hand when he needed to, and he got me out of Dodge when he had to. So understand, you're going to go through stuff. And until you submit, you're going to keep going around and around and around. We call it going around the mountain again, right? Let's go around the mountain or the desert again. So you want to go back to Egypt. Let's go around the mountain one more time. Till you learn to trust God. Till you know who He is. Until you can say, Lord, I surrender it all. Folks, I'm here to tell you, knowing who Christ is and following His command and His will. Let's get this out there. His will for your life. Because I'm still standing against people who think I need to be going overseas and preaching, that I need to be going here and preaching, I need to be running around and preaching. No, God called me to you. I've tried. Y'all know it. I've tried. I've tried lots of different things, but God said, no, here. I'm going to do His will for my life, and guess what? That stress, am I grateful that I got to meet some people in Ukraine? Absolutely. I'm grateful for it. And God's mercy was upon me. But I knew the whole time I was out of His will. Doing good. I was out of God's will for me. And that's why I need you to understand. We have to change. Sometimes you change gears, you do something else, you do something different. I love building. Guess what? God lets me build. I enjoy doing it. But when I put accomplishing something in front of His peace, I hate it. You can ask her. I'm learning. Ain't nothing else has to get done. So if you want to ask, you can ask. It'll get done when I get to it. Get mad, I don't care. I'm here to tell you, it ain't about the building. It ain't about programs. It's about knowing who Jesus Christ is. And I'm here to tell you, this government, this country, is about to hit the fan. There's threats against the president now. Death threats. I just read them this morning. And they're coming from Trump supporters. How dumb can we be? I don't care if you like the man or not. He's in a position you had better stink and respect. You know where I learned that? The words in red. Jesus could have taken Herod out. He could have taken Pilate out. He could have done it all. And Jesus said, I'm only here because I am letting you do this. My kingdom is not of this world. But I could take you out. Keep that in mind. That even though that's just a shell of a man, there is still a soul that Jesus Christ died for. It is what they will make their own decisions, but you better be praying for them and not for them to be assassinated. I've actually heard preachers pray for that. It's wrong. You pray for Israel. And speaking of which, I really got rolling. There we go. All right. Who's got the prayer requests? Yeah, we'll do that because we've already got some that have started. I know, it's noon. Tough. No. I don't mean to be mean with that. I'm just saying. If we can't come before God, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. This is a good message for today. I'm not putting these in any particular order. We're just going to pray. We're going to believe. Because I'm going to tell you right now, this is all within the county or right around us. And there's some bad things that have happened to people. So don't tell me the devil is not trying his best to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we come before you in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we stand the gap for all these people that are listed on these pages. Father, we stand no